I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the Power Platform Show. Full show notes for this episode can be found at nz365guy.com/302. Before we chat with today's guest, here's a quick message from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by ISV Connected. I've always been a big fan of masterminds, learning and sharing with a small group of your peers, trusted peers. Facilitated ISV masterminds are another thing that you can find at isvconnected.com. Navigate the Microsoft ISV landscape is easier with friends. So get involved if you want to become part of an ISV mastermind. Sign up today at isvconnected.com. It's totally free. Now, let's get on with the show. Well, welcome. Today's guest is from Seattle in the US of A. He works at T-Mobile as the Microsoft Power Platform Principal Developer. For over 10 years, he's worked in process improvement in industries ranging from manufacturing to healthcare. You can find him on Twitter at OtterBay12. I'll spell that out, OtterBay12. Welcome to the show, Brian Hoddle.
Thank you for having me.
So where did you come up with that Twitter name? OtterBay. Am I pronouncing it how you would pronounce it?
I don't really use it very much, but yeah.
Where did it come from?
I've just always been a fan of otters.
Wow. That is unique. That is definitely unique. So cool. So cool. So tell us a bit about you. You know, you're based in Seattle. It's definitely one of my favorite places in the world. You've got so much outdoor space and things to do. Have you always been based there?
Yeah, I have. I grew up North Seattle and I live in Bothell now. So I've always been in the area.
Nice, nice. So what do you do when you're not working?
Oh man. Mostly work these days. I do like to watch a lot of the new technology, podcasts and different shows, like MS and stuff like that. But I have two dogs, so they keep me pretty busy. I go snowboarding occasionally, go out and go to a driving range and some golf.
Nice. Nice. What's a breed of your dogs?
They are miniature bull terriers.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Are they the pug nose face type? Are they like, what color are they?
They are like the, like Spuds McKenzie, or the Target dog. They're like that, except both of these are brown and white.
Nice. Nice. Are they from the same breed, brother and sister type thing, or did you buy them separately?
I bought them separate, but actually the female is a bit smaller than the male and in weight and size. And the female we had before the male, so the male was younger. And when we first got them, they looked identical. So when one would do something that they weren't supposed to, I would yell at the wrong one all the time. now they're quite a bit difference in size, but they are commonly called bull terrorists. Because gotcha. They are super, super muscular. And there's a few holes in my walls from them playing.
I like it. I like it. Bull terrorists. That's cool. That's cool. So tell us a bit about your career background. Like how did you first, give us some history before the Power Platform?
Let's see. I started off in medical device manufacturing. Actually, I was an electrician before that, but I started off doing process improvement in medical device manufacturing, ultrasound, and I got certified in Lean Six Sigma, and did for several years there. I did half of my time was investigations on broken equipment, and the other half was doing process improvement projects around the organization. And from there, I sort of went through different organizations and different roles, but basically doing Lean Six Sigma type work, business process analyst type work. And it's just always been a field that's interested me.
Mm-hmm. And so then moving forward, how did you come to get involved in the Power Platform?
Yeah, I did. I was doing process improvement, and there was a lot of work that was being done in sort of electronic transactional environments. So in ERPs and CRMs and stuff like that. So a lot of the work was data driven, especially on the mass transaction side. So our organization at the time had pretty open licensing for Microsoft stuff. So it started out with Power Apps was the first thing I got into, and then started using Power Automate and building workflows and simple forms and apps to do some of these processes. I think the first one I did was actually built an app to manage the transportation of product between the different distribution centers that we had.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So when you say, like, obviously in the Microsoft licensing construct, et cetera, there would have been an allocation of licenses. Did you, like, how did you become aware of that? Was that something like internal inside the organization that you became aware of those licenses are available? Or were you more like doing some research online, that type of thing, and you heard and you discovered, you know, this thing called Power Apps, and then you went and found that you had, like I'm really interested in knowing, what was that point of discovery of the technology that kind of set you on this path?
I think what it was actually is I had used InfoPath in the past, which was sort of the predecessor for that. And I was looking for, I was doing research into InfoPath to find out what we could do to solve some of the problems. And I came across some of the stuff where it was right when Power Apps came out, so there wasn't a lot of documentation. So then I sort of started digging around in my O365 license or you know, Office licenses back then.
Yeah.
And just opened it up and started playing with it, and then the same thing with Automate. They were the newer things flow back then, and just sort of playing with little simple things that I could do, which was a lot of fun. It was a lot of challenging as well because the Power Apps was very new then, so it was quite buggy.
Yeah, that's interesting that you heard about it, then went and dug into your licenses, and that's you discovered, you know, you got them, because that is the model that Microsoft wants, right? They want you to realize that you already have a license allocation as part of your whatever license construct you have inside of Office, and then use it. So interesting. When did you realize that InfoPath was not going to be what you were going to use to solve your business challenge?
I think it probably was around that time we started looking at, we needed a really mobile application. And so, like, for this application, we needed to be able to load it on to, I think it was a Surface at the time, so mobile tablets, and it needed to be able to scale to different form factors and stuff like that. And InfoPath just really didn't do that. And in the navigation, it was really a form thing, and we needed multiple pages. And so we needed a more complex architecture for the app that we were building.
So were you already using InfoPath internally?
Yeah, I had used that InfoPath for a few years before that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I'm always intrigued at how that point of discovery comes about. So tell us about Power Apps now and your Power Platform journey. So you realize you had the licenses. How did you kind of, one, develop your skills on it? How did you how did you even decide that it was fit for purpose in what you're wanting to do?
It was sort of an experimentation thing. It wasn't that we looked at it, or that I looked at it and said, this is the solution for everything we need. And at the time it was actually, I think, built on a SharePoint backend, and it just sort of was an experimentation of what can it do, and can we push it a little bit more? And then we got some feedback and can we change it? And it was just sort of this sort of, going and researching and looking up documentation and find out, okay, well, I'm running into a problem here. How do I get around that roadblock, or how do we resolve it?
So were you in the IT department, or app dev department, and you had a team come to you saying, we need something to solve this business challenge? How did that kind of, you know, the business problem, one, been identified, and then you using this Power Apps to address it?
Yeah, I was actually I was a continuous improvement manager at the time. So my full-time role was just finding problems with quality or you know, speed or manpower, whatever, and addressing them however we did. And traditionally, that's through tools like you know, Lean Six Sigma, 5S, building queues in the floor and everything. So I did a lot of that stuff. But to address a lot of the stuff that we ran into issues, it was either just look the other way and say, this is a sort of a inherent problem that we have, the IT side, you know, the infrastructure side, with the systems, or it was, or we have to jump in and solve it ourselves. As happens a lot in big organizations of any size, really, you have a backlog of IT tasks and things, and things like infrastructure and security take precedence. And certainly learning new tools is one of the things that's a challenge for them to fit in. And so this was something that I had the ability to, you know, with licensing and everything else and skill set, I had the ability to go in and learn this tool and solve my own problems. And that's kind of where I've always pitched this product, is it gives anyone the ability to go in and solve the problems that they know the best, because they're the ones experiencing the problems.
Yeah, yeah. So how long ago was this? Like, where are we up to now in your development life cycle? Is it months, years? You know, what did you build, and you know, what's the role does it play?
Let's see. I think that was 2018, around 2018 when I started. And then after that I had several additional roles that were still around continuous improvement. So I was still doing a lot of that work, but I was building with Power Apps different solutions. So from there, let's see, that was at Funko, and then I went to Seattle Cancer Care Alliance, I think was right after that. I built several apps there for like planning out clinical floor layouts and scheduling and stuff, and did some fun stuff there. And then I went to where I'm at now, which is at T-Mobile, and now I'm a full-time Power Platform developer. So I've built out a tool called Orbit there.
Wow. So what's the role of Orbit? Can you share kind of what it does and what was it replacing, I suppose?
Yeah, it was Orbit is a sort of a tracking, approval, and management tool for anything that's customer facing. So things like projects, device promotions, new service offers, stuff like that. Anything really in T-Mobile that goes through there. So there's a lot of visibility. And essentially the process, you submit things, you fill out a bunch of different forms, and then business owners go in and upload documents. The VPs go through and have different phases that they get their approvals on. And then it kicks off different processes in different other systems like Workfront and Jira and all these different systems that exist. And that's sort of a, you know, high level of what it does. And before Orbit, it was mainly Excel. There was a lot of Excel and things like that. Tons of emails, just sharing documents back and forth. A lot of printed out stuff. And so we've been able to just really streamline that process. Get data that's up to date, which is one of the really big things as any organization now. But especially when you're in telecommunications, you have to move so quickly to be competitive, that even a week old data from an Excel is a huge huge delay in what you're doing. So now everybody's working off of things. We even have Power BI data sets off there that everybody's moving to as well. So really big improvement.
What was the impact on the people using the software? And, you know, what was their appetite, one, for change? You know, often businesses or people within businesses find it hard moving to a new technology. How did you handle things like adoption of moving away from the old, which everybody knows, to something quite new?
It was definitely a journey. There were some people that were hesitant, and then there were some people that were just were eager to get into a new platform and get something that worked really well. And as we've sort of built things out and become quicker and showed them what the capabilities of the system are, I think more people have been more open to changing. One of the big indicators of that is, of course, moving from paper to Power BI reports. And that's been a huge, huge shift. And that's happened over the last maybe 6 months, really is a big thing. So that's, it's been a journey, but I think overall it's been a positive journey.
Yeah. Has COVID kind of affected or impacted or, brought up new opportunities in the last 12 months with the Orbit project?
I think it has definitely put more of an emphasis on digital data as opposed to paper data. You know, when you're not sitting in an office carrying around a binder to different meetings, you're sitting there and you need to be able to pull that stuff up right away and then look at what the same thing that somebody else is looking up. That's one of the things that's been really apparent, and being able to access the information on a mobile device. So like having a process approvals pushed to your device through Power Automate, or being able to access initiatives and data on your phone or your tablet. People are just more mobile now, so they need to be able to access those things.
So in pulling that all together, what's the underlying architecture, particularly around the Power Platform? What are the bits that you're using from Microsoft to drive this? And then what are kind of the APIs into third-party solutions? Are you using a lot of those? You know, you talked about updating other software, et cetera. But just at a high level, kind of what are the different specific products that you're using from Microsoft in the Orbit build?
Right. Well, I like I said, I like to learn and sort of stretch on my abilities. And with this system, it's just so complex. There's so many things that it does that I'm pretty sure that there is every single piece of the Power Platform and that we're using this. The backend data structure is on Dataverse. But we're also using Dataverse for Teams, for different notifications. Power BI, of course, plays a huge role. Power Apps, there's numerous apps. There's the primary, the Orbit one, but then there's a whole bunch of ancillary apps that go around it. Tons of workflows. We're even using Power Automate desktop so that we're using things like that. That's actually used for integration with Sprint. So some of their legacy systems didn't have good APIs, and so this is the easiest way. So we just went and did that. Workfront and Jira, we go through APIs through the flow. So they kick off different things and create records and sync records in those. We use Microsoft approvals, of course, custom connectors, APIs to different things. Teams is a big piece, and it's a really complex system, but it works very reliably, and it's very quick and easy to change, which is the other thing too. You know, doing full stack development, it's just so much slower to make a change in a configuration or anything than it is with this kind of a platform.
Yeah. So, your app background, app history, and where you got to here, were you more from the data set within a SharePoint environment, or have you always been focused on the Dataverse or CDS, as it was called, for where your data resides?
Historically, I had been more in SharePoint because it was just what was that sort of self-serve tool set that was available. It wasn't until I came to T-Mobile that I really got into Dataverse, and that was around the time that Dataverse was common data service at the time was being integrated with Power Apps. So this was one of the first, I think, full big scale integrated Power Apps. So we ran into a lot of projects, but I got some crazy good support from Microsoft engineers. Just amazing team I worked with there. But the big differentiator between us going to something like SQL to CDS or Dataverse was that we were able to use the out of the box things like security structures and field level permissions and the low code building of relationships and everything else. It was just so much faster to build than it was to create all of these complex views and code within the app to manage all of that. So that's why we went. Even though it was a more extensive licensing cost, the value that we got out of it was tremendous.
Yeah, I commonly hear, like, in the market, that that's the most common bugbear, if you like, the difference between what it costs to have a data source as SharePoint as opposed to have a data source as the Dataverse. Obviously, with an organization your size, maybe that wasn't, you know, one of the impacting things, but you know, there's folks out there that say everything you can do in CDS Dataverse, I could do in SharePoint. What's your experience been in that respect?
It really comes down to the biggest thing is scalability, right? So there are limitations to querying and accessing data in SharePoint when you start having tons of records. For instance, one of the things, the delegation issue on Power Apps, is a challenge when you get over 2,000 records. A lot of the fields are not delegatable, and there's hardly anything that's not delegatable in Dataverse. But then there's also just these really complex permission structures that you can put in and manage. So we have hierarchy permissions, we have role-based permissions, we have individual record permissions, like, and all of this rolls back, and I can do a single query on a record for a user, and within a fraction of a second, it takes all of that, combines it, and gives me an output of exactly what they have, all the different series of permissions they have on there. And I can train somebody on that because it's all native access for Dataverse. So I'm not custom creating all this. And the other thing is, this is a full relational database. So there's a ton of tables that I have in Orbit that, if you're building SharePoint, it's not really a relational database. You're going to have to piece together things. So really, you're getting a tremendous amount of features with Dataverse that you just don't have with SharePoint.
Interesting. Tell me, you've mentioned a couple of times Lean Six Sigma, and it's not something that I'm experienced in or have a lot of knowledge on. You know, what is it?
Yeah, so Lean Six Sigma they're actually independent practices, but a lot of organizations, like when I was certified, they put them together because they are two different distinct ways to attack a problem. Six Sigma is really about stabilizing a process. So say if you're going to build a widget, and sometimes it takes 5 seconds and sometimes it takes 30 seconds, Six Sigma would bring it down to, okay, well, it's always going to be 10 seconds, right? It's always that. Lean is the part of removing waste. So Lean would say, okay, well, we can bring it down from 10 seconds to 3 seconds by eliminating these unnecessary steps. So when you combine those, you say, I'm going to have a reliable process that's stable and predictable, but also runs as fast and efficient with as few unnecessary items and steps in it as possible. And so that's where that overlap comes.
And so, is it more of a philosophy, a process? Is it a set of tools? Like, how does Lean Six Sigma come together from a practical, usability everyday type point of view?
I think it's kind of all of those things. At one point, it's a way of looking at things. If you were to go watch somebody do their work in any sort of job, if you have this toolbox and this way of looking at things to say, I can identify unnecessary behaviors, or at least go and know where to ask the questions to say, why are you doing this? Can you tell me why we have to do this, and can we do this differently or something? So there's a sort of a philosophy around this where you have to approach things and look for opportunities and sort of break the mold, you know, think outside the box, super cliche, but that's essentially what it is. But it really is, there's a huge tool set. And I think a lot of people get stuck in the mindset that Six Sigma isn't something that I want to look at because it takes, to do a project, it takes a year. And it really doesn't. If you were to do in training, you know, your first one, my first project took 9 months to do when I was in training. But that's because I did a very large scale project. I made sure I checked all the boxes and I was learning all the tools. You could go and you can apply Six Sigma to anything. If you just look at a simple building the widget, you're going to look at it, you're going to measure it, you know, do it 100 times and see, Is there other ways to make this better? But also, why is somebody taking 30 seconds and somebody taking 5 seconds? And anyone that knows anything about process or business knows that reliability to be able to predict the output of anything that's going on is a really important task. And so having that skill set and that view of everything to say, can we do this better? Can we do this different? Is really important. And the tool set, of course, allows you to a bunch of different ways to look at it and ask that question.
Interesting. So, you know, I've seen in many organizations where they have a piece of software that's legacy, does something. It's done it well, but it's a legacy application. They come along and they look at the Power Platform and they go, listen, I just want you to copy that piece of software and replicate it on the Power Platform. With Six Sigma, would there be a process involved that said, well, hang on a second, you know, the tooling is so different now. We don't want to necessarily just replicate. We want to ask ourselves, you know, is there wastage in the process? Is there, you know, parts of that software that are non-utilized? So there's no point in rebuilding it in the new application. Would you kind of reject that idea of just doing a replatforming of the same thing without you'd go through an analysis process, would you, of going, okay, is what we're going to output going to be fit for purpose now, you know, compared to at the old software was built?
Yeah, actually, that exact situation came up when one of the organizations I was at, they were looking at moving from one warehouse management system to another. And the first thing they did and said, okay, we're going to put this out to bid and they have to match everything we do currently in the system, which everybody outside of the IT organization said, that's a terrible idea. Let's not do that because we don't like the way we do it now. And that was really one of the things that was so complex and so troubling around the existing system is that it had been so customized that it was almost impossible to make any changes. So naturally, the thing is, okay, well, we got to get a bigger system that does the same thing. And that's the IT perspective, you know, sort of legacy IT. Let's just scale it up. And I think the new way of looking at it is, well, what should we do? We have this new opportunity, this breakpoint to say, what are we going to do it the ideal way? What's the best way to do it? And let's find something that allows us to do that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. In a lot of organizations that I've seen that, you know, and I'd be interested to get your opinion on this, they start with power apps and maybe they're building an app to address a business problem, a business challenge, but they don't really look at the word platform. They don't consider that, you know, to look at the concept of a platform is to perhaps build many, if not hundreds of apps, you know, on that, or to rationalize the apps that organization might have that, you know, been kind of grown from grassroots over time, and you know, they might be multiple Excel spreadsheets that just do a thing. They might even be old Access databases, old SQL databases, that type of thing that do something in the business. Are you seeing this, you know, and it might not just be within the organization, but just what you're hearing, etc., in the market? Are you seeing a move to more the platform play, like using it as a multi-app deployment? You know, using the automation tools across, whether it's the portal tools, the chatbots, the even AI coming into the mix. Are you seeing much more of a platform play than just a point solution play with the apps and the Power Platform?
I am. I think there's definitely the entry point to any of these things is to go in and say, oh, I'm going to create a workflow that does, you know, when I get an email, it's going to shoot off a notification, or it's going to, you know, do whatever, or a little app that looks up something or updates a record. But when you get into larger things, you need to look at it more of a holistic way. It's very complex to look at, say, for instance, setting up a meeting. You can use Teams, which I'm a big fan of Teams. It's grown. It does all kinds of stuff and it integrates with this. So now if I need to set up a meeting, I just go in there and I drop the files in and it syncs with my Outlook and it gives them automatically permissions to share this. It syncs with Active Directory. It's going to, you know, have video chat, all this stuff. It saves all the files, all the comp. It does all of this stuff in one thing. And really, they're all different products that are in there, but they centralize. Now, you could also look at the same kind of a task, and you say you have WebEx for the communication, and you have Slack for the chat, and you have OneDrive for the file storage, and that's kind of the old way, I think, of looking at things and saying, well, we have all these little pieces, let's put them together. But with this platform, with the Power Platform, what I think it does really well is it has all of those tools integrated right together, and they work natively together. So it requires a lot less work and configuration and a lot less breakpoints, right? So if you integrate with, say, Jira, and Jira does an update, you're probably going to break stuff. If you're in the same platform, they do a lot better about integrating those things and managing those updates and allowing you to have visibility to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get a lot of questions around people considering a career in Power Apps, Power Platform, or Microsoft Biz Apps in general. And, you know, is it too late to get started in this? You know, what are your thoughts?
No, I think it's a great time to start this. It's taking off, and you can see the numbers are just astronomical in the growth and adoption of these platforms. But there are still so many organizations that are going to continue to go through this growth path of looking at what are we doing now and how can we do it better. But at the same time, we need to be able to do it quickly, right? You need to be able to turn around an application. You can't backlog it and wait 9 months for a solution to something when somebody can go and spend a week and build an entire application and throw it out there. But also there's a big focus around sustainability. If you have a full stack developer come out and build from the ground up an application custom just for what you need to do, it's going to be really hard to find somebody that can come in and think the same way that person did, because there's no standards. It's just code. It's going to be a lot more challenging to get anything updated or changed without breaking things. And that's how you get, like you said, these legacy systems that just sort of exist for these huge amount of time. There are sort of tracks. I always use the analogy of if you need to drive through a desert, you can full stack and you can just four wheel and just go however the hell you want. Or you can go an out of the box system, like Workfront or something, and you're on a railroad that you're fixed on that track. But this platform allows you somewhere in the middle. It allows you guardrails. So it's going to give you a road and you can go off and you can change things, but really you're going to kind of stick to that. And it gives you that predictability and stability of having those guardrails to keep you in line and to really align you with other developers who will take over after you or help you out or anything else.
Yeah, I like it. So for people considering career in the space, you know, they can learn the technology. There's a lot of stuff on Microsoft Learn, et cetera, about learning the discrete applications. What are some of the soft skills that you think are important for somebody that is going to be, you know, let's say the next 10 to 15 years, they're going to be working with the Microsoft Power Platform?
I find that the people that do really well with these sorts of tools are people that are creative, and they can sort of think different ways to approach a problem. And I think that's really important, but also interpersonal communication. So by having a platform that can change so quickly, and you can literally sit in a meeting with business users and prototype things with them, that removes those multiple layers that you typically have between a developer and a business owner, right? So by the nature of that, you're going to have less layers. You're going to have more interaction with them. So you can't just be the type of person that goes off of a technical spec document and sits in the back room and does that work, because it's just it's unnecessary. And businesses are moving towards that to be more agile and quicker. So being able to work with people and think about new ideas and understand processes is also really important too, because you have to understand that there are reasons people do things the way they do that you may not understand. There's so many times where I've done that. I look at why they're doing something. That's the terrible way to do something. Until I go and I sit with them and I see, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. That's why they're doing it. And usually it's some sort of system limitation or, you know, X, Y, and Z. But being able to work with people, I think, is the big difference between being a really primarily a full stack developer and like a platform developer.
What would you like to see Microsoft do in the space, or, you know, even with any of the particular products? What new features that you would like to see implemented, or, you know, if they solve this problem, would open up this opportunity? What are your thoughts?
Man, that's so hard to... They're so responsive with things. They have so many new features.
That's a pretty telling response that you've given, right? That they are so responsive.
Yeah, it's crazy. I have meetings with them. I go as a business user, and they take the feedback. They have this big team that have people from around the world that they listen to, and we get a vote on things when they have their backlog meetings and stuff, and say, hey, here's some things we're thinking about. Do you have ideas? Do you have questions? Like, what do you think we should prioritize? They are super fast. I think that the biggest challenges that I have are with authentication, which is no surprise. It's just a really complex issue, and it just keeps getting more complex every year. I think that's probably it. I mean, that's the big thing, is just authentications, and that's become really challenging because we have the legacy Sprint side that we're integrating with our platform. So they're on a different tenant. So it just creates some complexity around there.
So you're meaning like cross-tenant authentication, or are you meaning like two-factor authentication? Like when you say authentication, is it a limitation of Azure Active Directory? What are you thinking?
It's cross-tenant authentication and giving permissions across the tenants. So Sprint has not been fully incorporated into our tenant, so they have guest accounts, right? So there are limitations to what you can do. So you have to think about, okay, well, how is this person going to access it? They can't see these resources, but they can see these resources. How am I going to kind of work around there for them to get into here to do this? And it's just been a real challenge. And it's not really a Microsoft problem, because most companies don't have that. But there certainly are a good share of them, especially as all the mergers and integrations happen over the last year, especially. That's definitely something that's been a challenge.
Is there any product you like the most, feature you like the most within the suite?
I think it's probably Power Apps, just because it does such cool things, and you can go. It gives you the full breadth from pro developer to absolute novice. You can go in and build something with having no experience and playing with it, but you can of course go to the opposite end and build something like Orbit, which has pages and pages of code, pixel perfect representation of everything you need. One thing that is really exciting for me that is fairly new is the process mapping capabilities that they have in the AI for this. So AI or process advisor. So being from the process improvement background, you spend a lot of time observing what people are doing. But by doing that, you have to sit there and watch over their shoulder, and nobody likes that. This gives you the ability to map out a process. Generally, it just records it, and then you can share it with the users. And then they just click start, and it records everything they do and sends it back to you. So if you have 10 different people, or even one person that's doing things 10 times, you can get all of the analysis up there, and you can see, okay, these are all of the steps they're doing, how long it takes, images, everything, and it gives you all that information. And a lot of the system is really going, the platform, the Power Platform, they're going towards the direction of having analytics be a core feature of everything they do. You can have Power Automate. There's tons of analytics around Power Apps in the back end and the front. There's just so much information there that allows you to take it to the next step to say, okay, well, we built this tool. Here's exactly where we needed focus to make it better and faster.
Mm, awesome. Wow, Brian, it's been interesting talking to you.
Thank you.
I can see you're passionate about about where things are going, which is just awesome. Tell me, I always like to wrap up with a few random questions on the show, and they are random, literally just dealt out of a deck of cards. Before we do that, is there any particular person you'd like to see me interview on the show that you'd like to get their perspective on something that you see it would be worth getting them on as a guest?
It's hard to say. I think that probably some of the engineers at Microsoft would be fascinating to talk to. One of them is Mehdi, who has been super supportive, and he's one of the principal program manager, and helped me tremendously when we were building this out.
What was his name?
Mehdi Andalusi.
Mehdi Andalusi.
Yeah, he's great. He does a lot of really great stuff online. If you look up his stuff, and he does blogs and posts and stuff. He develops all kinds of cool stuff. That's just really, really innovative sort of aspects of the platform.
Awesome. I'll get you to flick me his details, either link to his LinkedIn or his blog after this. But are you ready for your quick fire questions?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Would you rather be slightly late or super early?
Oh, super early.
Excellent. Which famous person have you met?
Famous person. I don't know that I've met any famous people.
Fair call. Who was your first love and when? Was it like before you were 10 years old or, you know, childhood crush?
Man. Wow, that's, I think it was probably in high school. It was probably in high school. Nice. Who somebody was dating then.
Sweet. What's a skill you learned when you were young that you still use today?
Questions, lots of questions. Even when I was a kid, I would always ask tons of questions of why things are the way they are. And that's sort of the premise for what I do now.
Yeah, very cool. What's the most surprising self-realization you've had about yourself?
Ooh, that I am too direct.
Interesting. Final question. If you could only have 5 apps on your phone, what would they be?
Let's see. I have Ground News. I think it's a great app because it gives you news from across the whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Outlook, obviously. Mm-hmm. And let's see, Starbucks is a big thing. Yep. Babylon Bee entertains me endlessly with their satirical news stories.
Wow. And, okay.
And then probably the Office app, because it gives you like 20 different apps all in one.
Yeah. So true. Well, thanks, Brian, for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, also known as the NZ365 Guy. If there's a guest you'd like to see on the show, please message me via LinkedIn. If you'd like to leave a review, go to nz365guy.com/review. And of course, like and subscribe in your favorite podcast player. I appreciate any feedback that I can get. Otherwise, see you next time.